The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with Red Bull Jackson Pinky Pankowski. If you're with us on YouTube, you can see he's apparently sponsored now. So that's cool. That's a new one. Today, so if you are a fan of the show, you know that Jackson is our marketing guy. He's spent millions of dollars on paid ads. He does lots of ads for our stuff, our people. He's done some stuff internally, writes some emails, all the good stuff. Jackson's been around the block at his young, tender age. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the difference when it comes to marketing your cleaning company between residential and commercial. I think people do not really understand the nuance. Actually, I wouldn't even say nuance, the chasm of differences between that. And especially when people say stuff like, I want to do residential and commercial. Like, we're talking about niches within that, because even within residential, the way that you're going to market to a condo owner is wildly different than a wealthy young single lawyer who lives in a 5,000 square foot apartment, which is different than a empty nest mom, which is different than a young mom who's got kids in school, or like kids, you know, toddlers and stuff. So they're all completely different within that. Think of the difference. And same thing, the way that you're going to market to a hospital is going to be completely different than a chiropractor, which is completely different than a, you know, a car dealership or a property manager. So even there, we're like niche, and people have this hubris, pride, if I can say it. They're like, oh, in my part-time, I can compete with people that do this full-time. So that's my quick mini rant on why you would niche down within commercial and residential. And then that would take even off the top, even off the counter of, well, I'm going to do both residential and commercial, because like, you shouldn't even be doing all commercial. I'm not saying you couldn't accept those jobs, but when it comes to marketing, you really want to narrow it down. That said, people, when they do commercial, like, oh, I want to get residential clients, and they just start quote unquote marketing, but they have no idea of the thought process the residential person goes through to go from not a client to a client. And then same thing with residential to commercial, you know, the way they've gotten it is repeating referrals, and people just show up, and it's just, you know, they think it's going to work the same in commercial, and they get frustrated. So today we're going to talk about the differences, the nuance, the techniques that are going to be massively different between residential and commercial. Anything to add on that before I jump in, Mr. Pinkowski?
No, let's go for it.
Man, just realized we got Lindsay Bjorklund. We've got Jackson Pinkowski. We've got some pretty interesting, although Suzanne and I, Bandick and Campion, pretty straight up. But all right, let's start with residential. Well, we'll just start with a couple of the differences, and Jackson, chime in anytime you've got something you think would be helpful to the listeners. So the biggest difference, and I don't think people even, I mean, as soon as I say it, you're like, well, that's obvious, but none of the behaviors of our clients, or even, you know, a lot of Clean Nation, mirrors the fact that they have it, right? It's like the fat guy going, I should be eating less, you know, fat and sugar and carbs and moving my body more, but he's still fat, right? So when it comes to residential and commercial, residential is a very short sales cycle, like could be hours, certainly days, almost never weeks, right? That's just how it is. So speed to lead is a huge deal, right? People will be like, oh, I advertise people, and you know, by the time I call them back, they've already bought somewhere else. And it's like, when did you call them back? They called at like 3 PM. I called them the next day at, you know, noon. It's like, yeah, this is a million miles away. It's a very, very short sales cycle, right? So you don't need to do a bunch of long-term nurture. And I'm not saying that you can't, but there's just not a lot of nurture, like most of the time, or kind of helping people understand their problem. You can, and it's nice. I always, if I can pick between trying to help someone that I've helped them identify their problem and we're the only one having the conversation, and they've already identified their conversation and they've taken out to the market and they're trying to get 27 bids, of course I'll take the former, right? I'd rather just be the only one. But in residential, a lot of it's just going to be, I know what I want, I'm going to get some help, and I'm just trying to pick the right guy. So I'll let Jackson fill in a lot of these blanks. I'll just kind of put the overview. But we're going to have quick call to actions, right? Like, call now, book a thing, let's get this scheduled. Like, a lot of people book right now online. You can book it right here. instantly, which I'm not a fan of, and I can talk about why, but that's that. When it comes to commercial, long sales cycle, right? No one, wakes up and goes, I don't like my janitorial service. I'm going to have one. And then by that day, they're on the calendar. It's just, you know, it might take weeks or generally months. So if you try and have what most people do on commercial is a short-term deal. I sent a flyer saying, you know, we're the best, buy my crap. And nobody responded. So I guess marketing doesn't work. And so, well, put yourself in the shoes of the guy or gal that you're marketing to. What does he want? So that guy, if he calls today at noon and you call him back tomorrow at 9 a.m, that's fine. Like there's no chance he's already, maybe he's talked to some other people, maybe he hasn't, but there's no chance he solved that problem. So the big overreaching difference in that with residential, your calls to action need to be quick, easy, let's solve a problem now and make them go, I want to solve it with you as opposed to anyone else. And this looks like the quickest, easiest way to get my problem solved. with janitorial, they still want quickest, easiest way to get their problem solved. They just expect different things that might be a relationship. So the way that they would do that is they want, it might be some relationship building, right? The quickest and easiest way for them is once they're frustrated, like you've already been building that relationship for a long time. Perfect example would be, I always use dating because everyone likes it and it's fun. If there's a beautiful woman and she's dating a guy and all the guys in her life are like, I would love to date that lady, but she's with this guy and whatever. It would be better if and when they broke up that you already knew her, right? The likelihood of her going, oh, I just want to start dating immediately with some stranger, very low. But if she's got a friend that she's like, oh, Jackson's always been great, such a good guy, and they break up, that might be a great time to, you know, you've already got that relationship started. So, and I'm not saying be predatory, right? Like be a gentleman out here, fellas, but we're assuming you're a good fit for her. So you want to have that relationship built already. So that said, I think that's kind of the table being set. Jackson, what are your thoughts on how you experience our people both struggling with and winning in both of those?
Yeah, I think, you really hit the nail on the head with how you position both. On the residential side, I think the biggest struggle I see is the follow-up or like the response or the getting in touch. You know, oftentimes the most successful people that we work with, they understand the mindset and the positioning of the customer. They understand like they have a problem that they're hoping to get sorted quite quickly. And, you know, their turnaround time is immediate or like within the hour if someone reaches out. But then on the polar opposite end, people that struggle are the ones that wait, you know, a day or two and then wonder why nobody gets back to them. It's like, well, like you said, people have already moved on. That's just so critical, that they get, you know, at least one step towards their solution. It doesn't have to be like an immediate quote. They don't need immediate pricing, but if they fill out something, they get in touch with you and, you know, you're there to, you know, start that process. That's a lot different than getting back to them the next day or in 2 days or, you know, God forbid, like a week later, starting that process. Because it's like Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last. Kind of thing. If anybody's seen Talladega Nights, it's one of my favorites. But yeah, the residential side, you got to be quick on the draw with it, because it does nothing but pay dividends for you. And it's not like you're being obtrusive to the person. They expect you to get in touch with them. They want you to get in touch with them. And if you don't, it's weirder at that point. A lot of companies do that. They just kind of leave it out there in the ether that the customer has no idea what's going to happen. And so they basically are struggling. Like they have a problem, they submitted something, they got in touch, they heard nothing back. They're still at that point A where they still have that problem. So they're going to go to the next person and the next person until they get to, you know, the next step of I'm either my problem is solved or we're starting the process of solving that problem. You don't need to solve it right then and there, but you at least need to start, you know, the process of getting to the solution, which is eventually, you know, having house cleaners.
Yeah, 2 points on that, and then we'll hit on commercial a little bit with how that looks different. One, Jackson made a really good point. You don't need to, they don't need to solve their problem. They just need their itch scratched, right? So they need to, in their mind, move it from this is something I've got to take care of to, oh, I've got a plan that I'm on and let's go forward, right? So booking a 15-minute call with you tomorrow, not a week from now, because they're going to, that itch is going to come back and they'll either lose interest or they'll gain interest and then Google something else and skip your call. So it doesn't have to be, I gave them a quote online and they booked and I had to do the whole thing. Because, and the reason we don't, I don't coach our people to do that is most of your no-shows, your bad reviews, your refund requests, your complaints, gosh, if you're doing half recurring and half one-time move in, move out, like one-time cleans, I'd say 80, 90% of your problems, certainly when it comes to refunds or bad reviews or headaches or client complaints, 80% would come from the move in, move out. So I don't like allowing them to book because they're just gonna have 9 tabs open, pick the cheapest rate. They're not gonna value at all. They don't really understand their problem. You don't even know if how could you possibly understand their problem? So you don't know if you can solve it. And now they're on the schedule and they have zero commitment. So those are the lowest quality customers you can get. And again, even if it's $300-$400 clean, it's just a lot of work. It doesn't take any more work to sell a $300 or $400 a month clean that stays for 2 years. It's worth 20 times as much. So categorically different. That said, so what Jackson said, they just have to scratch the itch, right? If you're like, we'll call you back, that their itch has not been scratched. If they get on the phone for you for 10 minutes, you have a little 5-10 minute call, you get a little bit of their pain. They go, you understand? They're like, yep, let me come out and we'll have a full conversation, get this all solved. And in that 5 or 10 minutes, they're like, I'm confident this is going to be a good call. Boom. It just scratched. They probably won't call anyone else. If they do, they're still going to tell that guy, I've got to talk to my first guy. So just, you need some step forward. It does not need to be, it shouldn't be calendar booked. Second thing, can't make this clear enough, because we are all about your company running without you and you being able to be anywhere in the world. So when we say you need to get back to them immediately, we do not mean you, the owner. We mean the systems and processes you have set up in your company. And we would recommend literally a part-time salesperson for that once you've got lead flow. And lead flow could be anywhere between, you know, at least 3 to 5 bids per week. You know, less than that is kind of tough. We can still figure out how to do it on Zoom or you can do it yourself. But all that to say, just because the lead needs to be responded to immediately, that means you need systems and processes to respond to lead immediately, not you got to stop everything you're doing every time a lead comes in, because obviously that's not going to work. All right. Anything on residential before we talk a little commercial?
No, let's go to commercial. I like commercial.
Cool. So yeah, me too.
Real quick, Cleaning Nation, if you can think about how you found out about this podcast, maybe a tweet, a Facebook message, iTunes search, some sort of Instagram post, the only way we grow is word of mouth. We don't do paid ads. We don't run ads. You are it. The only ask I have is if you're getting value, share the love. However you found out about this, if it's a review or post, whatever it is, do that. Pay it forward so the next cleaning company owner can change their life as well. Back to the show.
So what I heard from Jackson and me, but the big takeaway for residential I hear is speedy lead, right? Like let's make sure. And you know, I've been doing this 8 years and I don't think I've heard one person. It's like, I love Angie's List, or I love, and I'm not knocking Angie's List. They're a large company and they do well. I love fill in the blank with any name of a company that resells the leads 3, 4, 5 times. Right. So that speedy lead thing important. I wouldn't recommend being on one of those Angie lists, something like that, where they, you know, one guy comes in and they give it to 5 people, but then speed to lead is just like, you gotta be like within 2 minutes, like you just gotta go. Cause what's going to happen is they're going to resell it to 5 people, 3 or 4 are going to reach out and it just gets annoying and whatever. So again, speed to lead important when you start buying leads, which I wouldn't from places that are going to resell to 5 people. Then if you don't have a system, don't even waste the money. And that's most of the time. I'm not even knocking Angie's List. I'm just saying, most people don't have a system set up for regular speed to lead, and they go to this like aggressive speed to lead, 5 people are going to get it. And then they don't have that. You better have a good system for the first and a bulletproof second system for the second. Okay. Let's talk commercial, man. What are your, I'll let you begin.
Yeah. I mean, commercials, it's almost like polar opposite, but not at the same time. Cause when you think about it, like you said, the sales cycle for commercial is much longer. And so the pain, they still have a problem, right? But their timetable of getting that solved is usually not like an immediate thing for one reason or another. Maybe they're under contract. Maybe they don't have the budget. Maybe they can't make a change until a certain time period or something like that, right? But basically it's this the process of they've identified they have a problem, and now we're going to go ahead and go around and shop solutions. And it is always shop. I would be very surprised if any commercial business took one potential quote for commercial cleaning janitorial services, right? But regardless, you know, you don't want to leave them out there hanging. Like, you don't want it to be a long return process. Like, they fill, usually it's like fill out a form or get in touch, or they call and you start that process there. You want to make it explicitly clear to them what the process is. There's nothing worse than if someone has a problem, they submit a form and they know nothing, or they get a call back like a week later, like, hey, you submitted a form. It's like, well, I did, I forgot. You want to make it explicitly clear what's going to happen. If they submit the form, are you going to get in touch with them the next day, within 24 hours, within 12 hours? You know, what does your process look like? And then when you're on the call with them, you know, explain that to them, get more ideas of what they need, the timeline for that. And like Mike said, yeah, it's, you want to be front and center of their brain. So when they do actually go to make that decision, you know, in a month, in 2 months, in 3 weeks, it's not, I have to dig through a Rolodex or I look through an Excel sheet. It's, oh yeah, I spoke to Jim over at so-and-so cleaning a bunch. Really good, really nice guy. He came by the office a lot. He really gets us. We're just going to go with them because it makes the most sense. Because again, people don't want to work really hard. They want the easiest solution that's going to be best for them. That's going to solve their problem, solve their pain. And so if you're top of mind, they don't have to think a lot. They don't have to use a lot of brain power, you know, to compare and contrast. That's how you're going to get that business there.
Man, that is spot on. Only thing I'll add, and then we'll wrap, is the way I would look at it is residential clients are a microwave, right? They go from zero to ready to buy in, you know, 30 seconds. Commercial is more of a stove. So there's a lot more of a, well, it's the same continuum. It just goes over a much more condensed period. So it might literally be 5 minutes in a resident's mind of it's been, or, you know, maybe it's been building up over weeks or months, but the moment they're like, God dang it, that happens pretty quickly. With commercial, so I'm just making these stats up, but just from thousands and thousands of experience, I would say making up, but this isn't research, it's just my experience. For residential, 5% of the market might be, or 2% might be like, I'm ready, right? Gosh darn it. And then 10 or 15%, maybe even 20 might be like, I'm somewhat ready. Like, I've got a little bit of pain here. And if someone made me a good offer, you know, timing wise, I'd probably take it. And the vast majority are just like, they're not even thinking about it. You can send them advertising, you just wouldn't see it, right? For commercial, it's so much more spread out. Like, I'd say almost zero, I'd say less than 30% are like, I'm completely happy with my cleaning situation. Zero pain in my life, right? Like maybe 20, 30, 35% the most. And we'll just go thirds. Another third is somewhere in that spectrum of, I'm not frustrated enough that I've started making calls, but I am unhappy. And if anyone came with even garbage marketing, I would respond right now. Or I'm in a lot of pain and frustration, or some degree of pain and frustration, but my perceived pain and frustration to make a switch is still higher. Right. So like, I know I got to sign a new contract and I got to talk to three or four sales guys. But if someone could lower that perceived pain to switch for me or make it easy, oh, I'm ready right now. I'd probably say that's more than a third. That's probably like 60%.
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
Yeah. And then you'd split the remaining percentage with people that are just, you know, I'm ready right now. But here's the problem. And I used to if you guys can picture an iceberg with the little tiny part at the top and then the base at the bottom, and the little tiny part at the top inside the iceberg is one little customer, right? And then outside the iceberg, the vast majority is the water, and there's 1,000 clients or 1,000 of your competitors, that are all trying to get that one guy. Below the iceberg, obviously it's much bigger, and there's thousands of little clients inside that big piece of ice. And outside in the water, just you. That's it. Like when Jackson's like, it's tough to get him to be the only bidder. This is how you do it. So I draw that picture and go, where do you want to market? And everyone's like, I want to market below the water, right? Where there's many customers and just me, not above the water where it's one customer and a lot of competition. Angie's List, right? One lead, five guys. Google, every time someone Googles something, that's them coming above the water, right? It's gone from this internal conversation that is private to this external, I want some help. So everyone wants to market under the iceberg. And then I go, great. But all you got to do is the people above the iceberg are the people that have that 20% who have switched, and the pain of staying where they're at is greater than the pain of making the switch, right, to somebody else. There, it's so painful for them. Like, the perceived headache I have to switch janitorial companies is now less, but that's the vast minority. And they do start stuff like Google and start looking for it, and boom, there's 1,000 people around and they're the only dude with their head up. Below the iceberg is what I call, I got from Chet Holmes' book, Ultimate Sales Machine. He's passed, but it's still a great book. Is the Dream 100. And there are hundreds, or whoever's in your niche, could be thousands of people that are under that iceberg. And I'll be granted, you know, of the, we'll just call it 100 for the dream. There's 100 people down there. Maybe 20 or 10 even are in that, I'm ready right now. I'm just about to pop my head, like, you know, under. There's probably 30 or 40 that are in that. If someone talked to me and showed me that it's not that big of a deal to switch, I would immediately be ready. And even better, you're like, oh, that's still, you know, whatever. Of the remaining part, if you just take that whole 100 in the next year, near 100% are going to be in one of the two buying modes, right? And you're the only one down there. Because here's what all your competitors do. They'll sit, maybe they'll call the guy once, maybe, probably not. Maybe they'll send him one piece of direct mail. That's all. We're the best cleaners. We're amazing. We're cheap. You should call now for a free estimate. And then nothing. Maybe. That's the best of the best. Not the best of the best, but depending on the market you're in, that might be the best of the best. And if you're in a good market, there's two or three other dudes, probably our clients, that are doing a little different. And they're just building that relationship all the time, right? The good looking girl who's happy with her boyfriend right now, but you see the boyfriend, you're like, he's not a good fit. They're not getting married. You don't just call her once and go, hey, you still dating that guy? Yeah. Still happy? Yeah. All right. See ya. Lose my number. You call her and go, how you doing? And she was great. Everything cool with your thing? Yeah. How's your life? Great, great, great. You might have a 5 or 10 minute conversation like a human. And that's just the end of that. Then maybe send her a little text a week later. Just thinking of you. Hope you're having a great day. Best of luck. And then maybe another week later, you see the college team she went to lost the basketball game. So you know she's a big fan of that team. So you snap a picture and you email to her. Send a physical piece of paper to her with the thing on it. Whatever. Just stupid stuff like that. So you got to, if you want to be below the water where it's just you and hundreds of people, you got to just start building that relationship. And it's so much easier because A, you're the only one doing it. And B, just like Jackson said, when I do have that problem, when the girl does break up with the boyfriend, and is ready to date, she's like, well, I could go on some dating app, or man, Jackson's been calling and he's such a sweet guy. He's been here forever. It is a one thing. You on the dating app, there's 1,000 dudes you're competing with. If she's like, I'll never go, exactly the same thing. Like the big perception is it's going to be a pain to switch. But if Jackson and I are now kind of friends in my mind, like I can't, in my litmus test is if I have to go, hey Jackson, this is my campaign. I'm growing my cleaning company. We talked about getting you some whatever, but no, we don't have a relationship. I need to be like, hey Jackson, it's Mike. What's up, man? Dude, what's shaking? Done. That's all we're looking to do with 50 to 100 people. That's it. That's the whole enchilada. Because if Jackson's got a buddy that does that, as soon as his pain goes from a 3 to a 5, he's going to be like, everyone else would be like, well, if I knew a guy, if it'd be easy, I'd love to get a switch, but I don't. It's a pain in the ass. He's probably not going to remember me, but when I call him, hey, dude, what's up? Hey, dude, I was just thinking the freaking, and he's got a buddy that just happens to call, not about trying to sell him stuff, just about talking about some shared interest that we have or just being a human. You know what? Why don't you, perfect example, you know, Spencer, one of our clients has a podcast, Idaho Business Podcast. That's great. You should subscribe. Spencer Ward, great guy. One of the larger possibilities he had, which is probably, I know it's a six, probably a 7-figure lifetime relationship. I don't know if he sold him anything. I think he had him on the podcast. They went pheasant hunting a couple of times. And then just shockingly, the guy went, hey, why don't you bid on our thing? Just randomly out of nowhere. So the big issue I have with people on this Dream 100 thing is like, when do I sell? It's like, you don't, you just build the relationship and they buy. All right. I've went way too long. Wrap it any way you see fit, Jackson. We're going to call it a day.
I mean, it works. That's how I met my wife or got together with my wife. So like, that's prime world example.
All right. You gotta hit us with that story, dude. You can't just leave that.
I mean, we were friends for like 6 years before we started dating.
I love that.
Going between, you know, I mean, we had other partners, and then, and we started dating senior year of high school, and we've been married for 2 years. So going on 3 years.
By the way, they dated after that, so don't want you guys to think Jackson is a young lad, but he's not 2 or 3 years out of high school. Not that young.
No. We've been together for we met on MySpace. That's how old I am.
Man, you got me to hack. Perfect example of Jackson. And I'm guessing as you were friends, you weren't even trying to quote unquote sell her on anything.
We never thought it, like, it started because we didn't have anybody to go to prom with together.
I love that.
And so it's true. What Mike says is true. I'm proof of concept.
Yeah. And good Lord, if we can help you get, I mean, talk about dream 100, the wife's, if you do it right, it's a dream one. So if it works with a dream one, it'll certainly work with a, you know, a little bit bigger commitment to, you know, share everything than, hey, I'll let you come clean my place for some money every month. So God bless. All right, guys, gals, if this has been helpful and you want more, growmycleaningcompany.com's got all the information you need. If you're like, I need help putting all this in, I need a Jackson or a Mike, just shoot me an email, mike@growmycleaningcompany.com. We'll help you best we can. Thanks for hanging. Talk soon. See ya. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.